coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studios. This is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
Good morning. You might have a bit of a slower, even slower drive in this morning now that those cones are up.
Yeah. Extended it. I mean, they're almost there. It's supposed to come all the way into Ohio, and they stopped just short of Ogden.
I saw that.
I was going to say, they were like right there.
Yeah.
I was surprised because yesterday, you know, it was like the same distance covered as it was late last week. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, okay, let's do all of it. And I was like, whoa, okay, they finished it.
Yeah.
But no, they still have just a little bit more to cover.
Opens up right before Ogden.
Yeah.
And it just, all of a sudden, all lanes are available. But do be careful.
Please.
People are driving and kind of adjusting to all of this. No doubt. There's just lots of grace that's needed.
Certainly there is.
Like how she put that.
Just grace that's needed. Yes. You know, you got traffic, you got slowdowns, you got rainy days, you got cloudy days. There are so many opportunities to get your feathers ruffled over something. You ever notice that?
Absolutely. Oh. Yeah. There's so many things that are easy to be angry with other people about, especially traffic. I mean, because it's one of those things in your day that is completely or almost completely out of your control.
Yeah.
And so it's very easy to get upset at people because all these people have your fate in their hands.
Have you ever had to check yourself?
Yes.
Of course, yes.
You didn't even pause.
That was kind of rhetorical. That's like, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You had to check yourself on something that you were either outwardly or inwardly griping about that you had to go, come on. Like, why am I complaining about this?
Yeah.
Like, chill out.
Get those heart checks. You know, today's feels kind of like a somber day. I don't know about you, but this news out of Nashville yesterday is just, man.
I can't even put the words together.
No.
I really can't. And the grieving that's going on and the questions that are being asked. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, God, just shine your light. Please use it for your glory and your purpose.
Yeah.
You know?
So coming up, I'm going to take you to a couple psalms. The psalms are just so rich. It captures so much of the complexity of the emotion that we feel on days like today after that yet another horrific tragedy and unfolding inside a school. And coming up, I want to read. We're going to do lots of reading of Scripture today, reading of Scripture. Because the Word of God, you know, I was talking to my husband yesterday. I said, what do you talk about? You know, I had a whole plan for today and what we were going to talk about. And, you know, in light of that, all of a sudden it shifted. And so I was talking to my husband about it and he's like, the Word. It's like, that's right.
I love that.
We go to the Word.
Go back to the Word.
Not on me. It's not on you to try to find words to say. We go to the Word of God, the one thing that never changes, always true, always good. Coming up.
Giving hope directly from the source. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
I love my study Bible. I love it.
Why do you love your study Bible?
I love my study Bible because I like to read a little extra stuff that helps bring some context and some understanding and things that maybe a straight read through wouldn't illuminate if you're not well-studied or well-versed
in
things like biblical history and
theology
and all of those other big words that sometimes you can't even describe or pronounce. Do you have resources that help kind of supplement your Bible reading?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Today in the Word is a great supplementation of the Word. It's really helpful to kind of understand the passage that they're going over. I also really enjoy commentaries. The Moody Bible Commentary, if I'm reading, because even as a Bible student, there are so many passages in the Word that I read and I get confused about because I'm not exactly sure, you know, where this place was or what the context is. And so going through the commentary is super helpful.
Super Di, you have a...
stole mine.
Top Moody Bible Commentary.
Moody Bible Commentary for sure. And then I use the app every day for Today in the Word. I love it.
Just quick pitch for the Today in the Word. we do feature it. Super Di, can you see if we still have that keyword a key word for it up. Yeah. But I love it. I read it this morning. It's great. I like it in app form because if you are someone who maybe uses your phone as your alarm or you have a tendency of picking up your phone first thing in the morning, that Today in the Word app is a you. Click on that blue, it says TW, and you get to the today's reading, you get the scripture passage, and then some highlighted context from the author of the month. Text the word today if you want to get a link to this. It's totally free. I love this resource. Can't recommend it enough. Text today to 312-274-9624. Text the word today to 312-274-9624. Well, when I was reading yesterday in my study Bible, Psalm 13 was something that I had kind of journaled, written in my own, just my personal devotional time. I journaled about it a little while ago. And as I was kind of flipping through, sometimes I revisit things that the Lord has shown me at different times. And I remembered that I had highlighted this Psalm 13 and Psalm 14, and it's so appropriate for kind of what I'm feeling today, what you may be feeling. Psalm 13, a quick explanation from the ESV study notes. This is a psalm that's an individual lament. So a lament. Look up a definition for me on that one, Young Thunder, for if that's an unfamiliar word for some. It's an individual lament for circumstances where the worshiper is on the verge of despair. What's a lament?
A lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow.
Yeah. So that's what this psalm was designed for. That's why it was written. It was a lament for when the worshiper is on the verge of despair, his powers of endurance spent. You feel that? Let me read it to you, Psalm 13. It says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Coming up, I want to pull a couple things out for you to hold on to today. Are you trusting in the steadfast love of the Lord today?
Whether it's number one or 100, take that step with Jesus today. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
My daughter was about 6 years old, and she was in the backseat of the car, and we were driving home from school, and she just throws me some really deep theological question. I don't even remember what the question was, but I remember fumbling around trying to come up with an answer. I think I read at some point in time that it might, and I fumbled so obviously that even at 6 or 7, she totally was like calling my bluff.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Mom.
And so after about, I don't know, a good 45 seconds of me trying to fumble for an answer, she goes, no, Mom, never mind. I think I'm just going to ask God this one because you clearly don't know.
Whoa.
Oh, snap.
Part of me was like, oh, ouch, that hurt.
And yeah.
I was like, well, yeah, go ahead. You can do that.
But then you're part of her too going, oh, ask God. Oh, yeah. Okay, great, honey.
Yeah. Just ask God because clearly you don't know. Go ahead. Ask God. He's
so
got
funny.
All the answers. Wow. I don't know. Psalm 13 starts with a series of questions that don't really have easy answers. And it's kind of, the questions come in the form of lament. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? All of those end with a question mark. Do you have answers to any of those questions?
No, I don't. I wish I did. Yeah, I a lot of times wish I did, but I don't.
So you may have a how long or a why question this morning that's floating around in your head, maybe based on what happened yesterday in Nashville or based on the many, many other heart-wrenching things that may have happened in the 24 hours to many, many other people, you included. You have a how long or a why not kind of question that doesn't have a great answer. And when questions don't have great answers and they're just kind of thrown out there, what do you do with that? Keep reading in the psalm, because it goes from questions to a request. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken. And then in two quick verses, it gives kind of a conclusion, even though the questions haven't been answered, even though a request was made. We don't know if that request was answered yet, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So what do you do with when you don't know why, or you don't know why not, or you don't know how long? Well, you cry out to God. It's okay to say, consider me and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes. Allow me to see light again because it feels really dark. I feel like my enemy's prevailing here, God. I feel like my foes are rejoicing because I'm shaking over here. Kind of paraphrasing this a little bit. But then land in verse 5 and 6. Trust in the steadfast love of God. Declare your trust in God, in his steadfast love, even when you don't have answers to your questions. That's the challenge for each one of us, to allow our hearts to rejoice, not in circumstances that feel good or bad in the moment, but in the salvation of the Lord. Then we sing to the Lord because ultimately he has dealt bountifully with us, because ultimately his goodness toward us is proven and it's unshakable. Psalm 13, I want you to spend some time there, particularly if you've been wrestling with some how long or why not questions. Trust in the steadfast love of God. That is the place that I am landing today, and I want to encourage you to do the same. Wrestle with your questions, but man, trust in a God who loves you.
Want to put faces to their names? Just follow Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget, that's Carl with a K.
Hey, it's Carl and Crew Mornings helping you take your next step with Jesus. Here's the bottom line. We're coming out of COVID, and we've got the church is sifting. Would you all agree on that? We're sifting out as a church.
Yeah.
And we're noticing that there is decline in attendance. But here's what I'm going to subscribe to you. Here's my contention. I believe we've got the people that we need to be working with like never before. So leadership development, leadership training, equipping saints who are working in the local church to be fueled up like never before. Boom. This is the time. And I've got the perfect person for you. And we've got an event to talk about. Lena Abajamra with us right now. Dear friend, awesome young lady, pediatric ER doc, practicing telemedicine. Sometimes she'll have her feet in salt water while she's helping people get healed. Founder of Living with Power Ministries, and she's with me right now. How about that salt water one, Lena? You like that one?
I like it. I like it. Amen to that. May more. May Jesus bring give more of it. Now, it's really good to be with you. I feel like we haven't been together on the radio in a while.
I know it. How have you been? You doing
good.
All right? Good.
We just got back from Lebanon. A lot going on. Yeah, the work there is growing, and there's excitement, I think, about what God is doing. And I'm feeling it here in the U.S., except it's like a little bit behind. You know, like you start to see the embers of,
I know it.
Of something happening in
it
the
is.
Church, right? But
it
it's
is.
Like we got to rub the stones together and, you know,
yeah.
have a Holy Spirit moment.
So
you know?
let's talk about this, because post-COVID, we've seen churches across the nation in every area of this nation. Attendance is down. I don't see that as a problem, and here's why. I think we've been trying to disciple the unconverted, one of the challenges that we've had, but we now know a lot more who's in, who's with us. Now we can invest in these lives, and I believe lean into disciple making like we couldn't before. Give me your thought on that.
100%. I mean, I think that the riffraff is gone in a way. I mean, the original, you know, when we first saw the numbers drop, everybody's heart dropped. Like, what is happening? And I think people, you know, of course, the deconstruction movement was brewing around
yep.
the same time. But there is a sort of, you know, like now it's like, all right, well, you know, you know, let's just see how things are going to lie. And I really agree with you. I think the people who want to be discipled are still there. And but I also think that for the people who are in churches and who are committed to Jesus and who want to see the revival that we keep talking about, that we've seen glimmers of course, with Asbury recently. I think those people need to come together, pray together, be together, and where better to do it than, you know, the Lord himself said, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. So whether that happens in a local church setting or in this case, we're here to talk about this amazing conference in Chicago that's going to happen. I, like never before, feel this urgency to get together with other Christians to remind ourselves, like, we're not crazy. This thing that the Lord wanted us to do, yeah. Jesus asked us, you know, to get together, to gather together, to pray together. Like, this is what it's about.
Yep.
So I think it's a time where I think we can just feel the lightness, I think, of, well, here we are.
Yeah.
Now, are we serious about this or not?
You know, something just hit me too, Lena. If you're listening right now, and maybe you're a person that has not been plugged into church, and here's what's going on. You are hurt, and that's real. You know what? This might stoke your coals. I'm going to give a banner ad for it right now. It's called Called. The name of the conference is Called. And it is happening April 15th. This is soon, guys. Saturday, April 15th. And we want, Lena's going to be speaking there. What's your hot topic? You got more than one, I'm sure.
Well,
but what
do
you hit?
Carl, you know me. What do you think I'm going to speak about? I mean, come
revival.
On. Revival. Revival, I am. I can't help it, man. My heart is just so in tune with, you know, first of all, Pam McRae, who's the lady who's, you know, started this thing, is leading this thing, who does a phenomenal job. She's part of the Moody staff, heads up their a section with women's ministry and other things. She's incredible. And I'll tell you, she has revival in her heart, too. I didn't know she had ties to Asbury and was at Asbury like you were. And of course, she's on fire. But the verse she picks for this is Jeremiah 24, verse 7. Okay, have you ever, Carl, met a revivalist who isn't in love with the prophet Jeremiah?
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So it really is exciting to think about that in this setting. But, you know, I think about this concept of called, and I was so honored that they asked me to speak again. I've spoken again there before and had a tremendous, tremendous time where God brought together people who are interested in ministry. You know, I think we always think, well, you must be called. I'm not sure if I'm called. Is he called? Is she called? We're all called. We're all called and chosen by God to do something in the local body to serve Jesus and bring him honor and glory. And so if you're listening and you're like, I don't know if I'm called, I bet it's you. And so, yeah, we want to talk about that. And I can't wait to be there and talk about revival.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Okay, coming up here, we want to tell you, Lena is sweetening the pot today. We got some motivation here, don't we, Super Die?
We do. It's good stuff.
All right, hang on. We got some... Buy one, get one free registration. We'll give you details straight ahead with Lena Abijamra.
It's like coffee, but for your ears. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Okay, with me right now, Lena Abijamra. She is pediatric ER doc. Man, I love it when these really smart people start following Jesus.
It's great.
Isn't it great? And practicing telemedicine, a little bit of that, and founder of, and this is really her heart and passion, Living with Power Ministries. She's an amazing communicator. As a matter of fact, I've tuned in when my bride is tuned into her Thursday Bible studies. Let me tell you something. These Thursday Bible studies that she's doing online are smoke on the water.
Yes, they are.
They are tremendous. But you can see her live. She's going to be at this conference. The name of it is Called. It's going to be April 15th, and Lena's with me right now. Sister, well, give us the top two reasons why you want women to get there that are maybe on the fence on this one.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about my life, honestly, Carlin, and the Lord has been faithful and continues to be faithful with moving mightily with works that I'm doing here in the U.S. for his glory and in Lebanon. And do you know that I think that every big decision I've made for the Lord that has reshaped the direction of my life has happened in a conference or, you know, camp conference setting where I took time out, got together with other people,
yes,
focused for a day or 2 days, whatever the time may be, to really ask the question, God, what is it you want me to lean into in the next season? What is it that you want me to do? Or even by surprise, God has shown up in ways that I haven't expected. And so I can't imagine my life. I'm even thinking about 2023, like we're so tuned in. Well, I'll just listen to it on a podcast and go double speed. Well, first of all, you can't do double speed, Lena. Like that's a medical, like there should be a little warning. Do not double speed Lena's podcast. But besides that, the reality is, there is something, like, I even think about the Asbury as an example, the Asbury Revival, and I know
yes.
you went there.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I watched some on YouTube, and yep. I, you know, heard the news. I guarantee you, in talking to people who have been there, that you had a much richer and maybe life-changing experience than I did.
It was powerful,
you know?
Lena. It was powerful. Being there, I will tell you right now, I'm still living in the afterglow of that. I am.
Wow. I wish I went in hindsight. Okay. So it was travel related. I couldn't make it at the time. I regret. I was hoping it'll keep going on. I was a little upset they ended it because I needed another week and I could have come. but you don't want to miss what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you know, I think about the revivals in scripture. Like I thought recently, I've been thinking about Ezra and Nehemiah and all those, you know, Old Testament prophets that got together, opened the Word of God. You never hear about a revival happening in just a family's tent. Not that there wasn't a movement of God there,
yeah.
But in terms of national revival, of turning an entire people to God, of something amazing happening, it always happened in a public forum where people gathered together, opened the Word of God, humbled themselves, and said, God, what do you have for us? And so, honestly, I don't even think you need a number two. If you're hungry for a fresh move of God in your life, come, be with us. I can't believe how affordable this is. I like deals. I like, you know, that. So I know we have a great new Bible study through the desert. We'd love to give it out. I mean, all the things that, yeah, are exciting to get to know people. They'll come to our book table. So many people listen to me on the radio and others, you know, and I think it's fun to be together for that reason. But honestly, all that pales in comparison to sensing a deeper experience of the presence of God and hearing from Him a direction for the next phase of our lives.
Yeah, beautiful. Lena's doing something really cool. We got a BOGO going. It's buy one, get one. Now, this is what's going to happen. We're going to give away one of these buy one, get one free registrations right now. So caller number 23 right now buys one, gets one free. But I'm asking all of you to get hooked up on this deal. By the way, later on today, you keep it pinned right here. We're going to have Through the Desert. It's a new Bible study by Lena. It's going to be available. She's got some of those copies. We're going to be repeating this today. The next day, we're going to keep this going for a while.
Sweet.
So I'm asking you right now to really think about getting there. April 15th, Saturday, April 15th, moodyconferences.com. That's how you get there.
That's it.
Moodyconferences.com. Easy, get registered, super affordable. But first, take a try at this one right now.
Yeah, exactly. We're actually asking. I'll get that out. Caller 23 at 312-274-9624. 312-274-9624.
Lena, I'm going to do this. Father, I thank you for Lena. Thank you for her heart for revival. I thank you that she is one of the keynotes here at Called, and I'm asking you to fill the house.
Amen.
I'm asking you to fill the house. Lord, bring those who you want there. And surprise those who are listening right now who you want there, and they didn't even know you wanted them to be there. But now you're tapping them on the shoulder. And I'm asking them to move right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Moodyconferences.com. Moodyconferences.com. Calling all ladies. Bring it on. And maybe, and I mean this, maybe you've been dinged and hurt, and you've been sitting on the sidelines. Maybe you haven't been getting to church, but you feel like, man, I need a kickstart. This might be it. Go to moodyconferences.com and get registered today.
We do. It's true.
Okay.
This
is so great. March Madness is epic. Here's the thing, though, and I went to a mid-major school. At most mid-major schools, your only way to get a sports team into the postseason tournament is usually to win the conference.
Yes.
So without getting too into the weeds for people who don't care about sports, usually a slot is allotted for a lot of the conference champion winners. Mm-hmm. And then you have your at-large bids, your Duke, your Kansas. They usually get in. But for smaller schools, you got to win the conference and then you get a shot at it. So my husband's sophomore year of college, he went to Eastern Illinois University. He was a great ball player there. And they had a really solid season. But their only way of getting into the tournament was going to be to win the conference tournament.
Right.
So they made it all the way to the conference championship, the final game, when they played against a team called Austin Peay that I believe is in Tennessee. Correct me if I'm wrong on this one.
I'll check.
And they just did not play a great game. And I was watching this game on TV because it was being played out of town. And I laugh when I think about this because it was getting so bad that I told my mom, I said, you know what? Let's just turn it off and go to the mall.
Oh, no.
No.
I'm sorry. They were down by 21 points with 9 minutes to go in the game. Okay. So at that point, I'm like, yeah, man, they had a great season. They gave it a good run.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead. They would turn it off. And then, you know, they started to chip away a little bit. They got it down to 18 points, but there was still only 6 minutes and 47 seconds left in the game. Let me tell you what happened in these last 6 minutes and 47 seconds of this game. They started to make a charge. They went on this insane run. Shots started dropping. My husband and this one other guy had just started hitting shots. And all of a sudden, that lead started shrinking. 18 and then 15 and then 13 and then 14 and then 12 and then it's under 10. Wow. And all of a sudden, it's like, they're going to run out of time. Can they possibly win this game? It came down to they were trailing by one. They had a shot to win the game. Missed the jumper with 3 seconds left on the clock. But the center grabs the rebound. He puts the shot up with 6/10 of a second. He puts it back up. And another guy on the other team, a big guy, comes in, blocks the shot. But as he blocks the shot, the referee blows the whistle. What in the world is the call? Was it a foul? No, it was a goaltending call. Blocked shot with 6/10 of a second left on the clock. They won the game on a goaltending call after being down 21 points.
That's crazy.
With 9 minutes to go in the game, they won by one to go to the NCAA tournament. As a number 15 seed.
What a crazy story.
Someone sent me a text message just this past week of a screenshot of a newspaper clipping. This was someone who went to Eastern at that time and said, look what my dad saved. Their dad had saved all this year, the cover of USA Today, because this game was such an epic comeback.
Yes.
That it made the cover of USA Today. And so my husband, and he has his mouth open and his fist in the air, and he's making this, he was always a dramatic celebration guy. So if you were looking for that guy who was going to be on camera because he was celebrating or yelling louder than anybody else, that was going to be my husband. So they sent me a picture of that USA Today cover from around this time. This has been, I don't even know how many years, maybe 20 years now.
That's so fun. I love that story.
Everybody loves a good comeback story.
Boom Crew, celebrate what God is doing in you. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
What are the ingredients of a good comeback? What does a comeback story require?
An underdog.
Yep.
Maybe not at the start of the game, but definitely at that portion.
Okay.
Requires an underdog.
Requires some adversity.
Yep, absolutely.
There has to be a deficit of some sort.
Yes.
To come back.
Okay.
You know.
Sometimes it would be described as a miracle.
Okay.
Oh.
Just taking some notes here.
Yeah. American ice skating. Yeah. That was that hockey team. That was a...
Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah.
You know, I think many times we can count ourselves out of things.
Sure. Yeah.
We can look at a situation and think that the situation seems too bleak or hopeless. And we love comeback stories because it points us to hope. We love to think that there's still a miracle possible. Obviously, when we get too emotionally wrapped up in sports, that can be kind of a misguided. I mean, I will admit to having said prayers in the stands of of games. Lord, please let them get this win. I'm not going to say that there's anything wrong with that. God doesn't, you know, I don't know if he answers those prayers or not. But when it comes to more serious things, the life stuff that we go through, when we cry out to God for rescue or for deliverance, when we feel like our back is up against a wall, like we've been counted out, like we've been overlooked or rejected or mistreated in some way, there's always the opportunity, and we hold on to hope and faith that God, based on what we know to be true about him, based on his character, based on his track record, that he is our rescuer, he is our refuge, and there is no comeback story that he doesn't author.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a physical comeback, have you ever seen somebody make a dramatic recovery from an illness or a injury?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah. What are some comeback stories that we see in Scripture? Who comes to mind?
Really good question. I think the first person that came to mind was Rahab.
Ooh.
Rahab is a comeback story.
Definitely counted out.
Yeah, counted out. Her history and the life that she lived was not one that was honoring to God. However, she helped the Israelites, and then she went and joined them and lived with them and was a follower of God.
And absolutely, that's a good example. Super die.
I'm saying Job.
Job. Yeah.
Great story.
Especially with friends and family and everything that just turn on him, really.
Mm-hmm.
Counted out in a pretty major way.
Counted down and out and gone and everything else.
Yeah.
So I thought of Job right away.
Jesus.
Oh, hello. Yeah.
Crucified by people who hated him and despised him. And they had no idea what was coming and that it was all a part of the plan. But he came back 3 days later, defied death.
Oh, man. That's a good answer. I don't know if there's any answer that stops that.
Not one better.
Would love to hear your comeback story. I just had someone text in. Some comeback stories involve the kindness of others. They said, I've experienced that. That's true. A lot of times God uses other people to help us get a comeback. Do you have a comeback story that you'd like to share? Not looking for a sports story here. I'm talking about a comeback story where you got an unexpected victory, where you were overlooked or counted out or diminished in some way, and God really allowed you to experience real victory. 312-274-9624. You got more biblical examples that we missed? Text us those as well. 312-274-9624.
Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
It's got a text message of a marriage that many thought was over.
Oh, great example.
Wow, that's a good story, yeah.
That's a very good story.
But there was a comeback. Hey, Allie. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
God.
Thanks for waking up with us. The text says, one thought our marriage was over, but God got a hold of us both spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. He aligned us to his plan and not to our own desire. God authors a pretty sweet comeback.
Yes.
We love watching sports because we love to watch those stories of a team that's been counted out or that goes down by a lot. And we watch and we wait to see if the momentum will shift. And you know, in a game, it can go either way. I've seen comebacks that almost happened. They got so close, but
those ones are the worst.
Ran out of time. They went from, 20 points down and ended up losing by 2. And it feels a little unsatisfying.
Almost.
I want to hear your personal comeback story. Maybe it's health related. Maybe it's marriage or relational related. Maybe it's just your life was wrecked in some way and God gave you a comeback. And the thing about these stories is that God gets the glory. When you interview an athlete after they've, scored a bunch of points in a comeback game, sometimes you can tell they're trying to say the right things and sound humble.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, how does the interview usually go?
Well, I gotta thank our team. Our team did a really great job,
Coming up, I'm going to role play this with Young Thunder.
Okay.
Let's pretend Young Thunder just helped. Let's say Young Thunder. Let me set this up for you. Young Thunder is the point guard on a basketball team that's just made it to the Final Four.
Wow.
And they were down by 15 with 3:30 left to go in the game. Young Thunder had kind of started the game cold. Let's be honest. You started pretty cold.
Sounds about right for me.
Then his 3-point shot got going.
Nice.
And then it came down to it, and he was fouled with no time left on the clock, and his team was down by 1. He needed to hit both free throws to win the game. And he did it.
Yes.
Coming up.
Did it.
How in the world did you do it, Young Thunder?
It's the closest I've ever been to a victory like this. I'm excited.
He wants to know.
How did you author this great comeback? Exclusive live interview with Young Thunder coming up.
Hey, Boom Crew. This is Matt Forte. Huddle up, because we're taking our next step with Jesus here on Carl and Crew in the Morning.
Having a little fun here. It's March Madness, so I've been watching a lot more basketball than I usually watch, and I usually watch a fair amount. But, man, some of these games have been so epic. So we're role-playing here. We're pretending that Young Thunder is the starting point guard of a team that's in the Final Four, and they just had an epic comeback for which he played a very integral role, made a series of three-pointers, and then the game-winning free throws. After the game, the clock had expired. He hit nailed both of them to let his team win by one. We've got Young Thunder here, and I hear that's what your teammates call you.
That's right.
Can you tell us what was going through your mind when you stepped to the free throw line and you knew the game was on the line?
Well, really, it's just all about, you know, what coach taught me at that moment. You know, I got to give thanks to my coach. He really has helped me calm my mind, teach me all the right fundamentals so I know what to do in that situation. And in all honesty, I got to thank my team because, you know, without them, I wouldn't have been able to be in the position to make that free throw and to make all those shots at the end of the game. You know, they put me in the position. They helped, you know, it's so really it wasn't me at all.
But I mean, you guys were not expected to win this game. And really, you've been, you know, a lot of people counted you out this season. You had a tough start. I mean, what allowed you to be victorious tonight?
Well, really, you know, it was just entirely a team effort. You know, I mean, I got to say, you know, people counted us out, but we came together. I mean, we're a brotherhood. And, you know what? We never counted each other out.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We never counted each other out. We always held each other up. And you know what? No, it was all me. My team didn't do a single darn thing. Every single possession, I ran that thing up the court. I made all the three-pointers I needed to make. This thing was me. It wasn't them. I'm done with this. You know, trying to give my teammates credit. This thing was me. I won the game. Congratulations to Jonathan.
You know, a funny thing happens in comeback stories is that there is this temptation. Obviously, Young Thunder's exaggerating a little bit, but there's the temptation to sometimes touch the glory.
Oh, yeah.
Bit.
Take the credit.
Sometimes be like, yeah, I'm going to say it's about the team, but really, yeah, you know, I really.
We all know it was me.
There's not when God gives you a comeback story, I don't even think for a second, if you've really had one, you can even entertain the idea that it was you. Mm.
It's so obvious that it
wasn't.
You're
not even tempted to touch the glory because you're like, what did I do in any of this?
Huh.
You know, I wrecked my life, but God allowed me by his mercy, by some miracle, he allowed me to come through this thing unscathed. Or maybe it's your marriage and your marriage was in a terrible place. And by God's grace, he gave you a comeback. We're looking for that story that, you know, you had nothing to do with other than to be the beneficiary of God's great comeback. What is your comeback story? You want to give God all the glory for it today. I'll interview you on air, too. Tell me your comeback story, 312-274-9624.
New to the show? Stick around for a while. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
I was reading the story of Gideon recently in the book of Judges. And, you know, you think about how he was, you know, Gideon was called to kind of lead God's people to defeat an opposing nation. And he was really, really scared.
Yeah, he really was.
He was afraid. And he
God, if you really want me to do this, can you prove it this way?
He starts asking for all of these signs and can you now allow it to be this? And then can you allow me to hear that? He just starts asking for God to keep proving over and over again that this is really what he wants him to do because he feels like the least qualified person, the weakest guy from the weakest clan. And he just was like, why in the world would you choose me for this assignment? And then to make things kind of more interesting, when he then starts to assemble a team for battle, God only allows him to have 300 guys.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that.
Strips them all the way down to 300. So you take a guy who was fearful to start with, and then you reduce his numbers so he's going to be really, really outnumbered in battle. But one big takeaway from that story, and of course, ultimately, the victory is won, not because of Gideon, not because of whether they had 300 or 300,000, but because God was in it. When God is the one who's fighting for you, the victory is assured. Whether it looks exactly like what you think it will or not, we are victorious in Christ. And the one thing I jotted down is that when our ability to secure our own victory, or where God gets glory when our inability to secure our own victory is obvious.
Absolutely.
When it's so obvious that I can't do anything for myself, God gets a lot of glory from that. When we are outnumbered, when we are outmatched, when we feel overwhelmed, God gets glory from that.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of thinking about like the situation where that we just did at the beginning of this hour where, you know, we're talking about the point guard who kind of took all the shots and helped the comeback. And he was really the reason for it. I think about the guy that is on the bench, you know, in the Super Bowl, who he's a bench player. He maybe get a couple of spots, but he benefits from the person who comes in and makes all the throws and or all the catches and scores the touchdowns. But he still gets a Super Bowl ring at the end of the day.
Very true.
He can say, you know what? I was here, but it was that guy that kind of made it happen. But I get the benefit for
it. I get the benefit. Yeah. God can get glory from your life when you are willing to just submit and surrender the outcome to him, when you trust not in your own strength, but you really look to him for it. So if you feel like today you are outnumbered, you're outmatched, you're overwhelmed, you're perfectly positioned for God to do something pretty special and for him to get the glory and for nobody to look at you and go, oh, wow, look what you did. But for God to get an immense amount of glory from an outcome that maybe you didn't even see coming. So that could be you today. Maybe you needed to hear that.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.